This is Ozarks at Large for Tuesday, April 23rd, 2013. I'm Kyle Callums.
And I'm Mitch Mike-Rahita. Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, the controversy over a large hog farm near the Buffalo River continues, and forces opposed to that farm are organizing in what may be a last-ditch effort to alter the plan. Plus, a hearing this week examines the future footprint of the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks, and we listen to a critically acclaimed band from Montreal arriving in Fayetteville tomorrow night.
First, the Arkansas Department of Human Services is highlighting the state's efforts to prevent and rehabilitate children and families that have been separated due to child abuse.
When we say strengthen, you say family!
Strengthen!
Family!
Strengthen!
A rally was held yesterday on the steps of the state capitol to mark April as Child Abuse Prevention Month. Cecile Blucher, director of the DHS Division of Child and Family Services, says Arkansas is one of nine states with permission to implement a rehabilitation plan for families affected by low-level child abuse and neglect called Differential Response. She says it's about rehabilitating the whole family so it can stay together.
Children should grow up with their families, not in the foster care system. Our focus is on strengthening families, allowing children, if possible, to stay in their home while we work with the family unit as a whole to address their issues.
Wendy Founds, a parent and participant in the program, also spoke at the rally, saying the program has strengthened her family and kept it together.
Beginning next fall, some route changes will be coming to one of Northwest Arkansas's two public transit providers. Adam Waddell is the associate director of Razorback Transit at the University of Arkansas. He says certain bus routes will be expanded.
Expansion is the right word, but what we are doing is we're actually just placing the resources in areas where we can be more efficient. We are going to trade out routes and services that were underperforming, and we're going to relocate those to areas where we can get better use from the resources.
Changes to the weekday routes include the addition of a second bus to the brown and yellow routes through 7 p.m., a second bus on the purple route through 11:30 a.m., and again from 2 until 6 in the evening, and moving the return path of the gray route to use Leverett Avenue. Also, the Pomfret Express and yellow routes will be consolidated. The Maple Hill Express route will be discontinued. Razorback Transit operates within Fayetteville, and while some residents wish for more bus service, Waddell says that the transit entity does what it can with the resources it has available.
There's always areas that we consider in our planning. Funding is definitely a determining factor of where we can run. We do our best to place our resources to where we're going to be the most efficient possible. That's going to be best for the campus community as well as the city of Fayetteville.
Waddell says that although Northwest Arkansas's growing population has classified the region as a federal transportation management area, funding for expansion is limited because the funding is shared with other transportation entities in the area, such as Ozark Regional Transit.
U.S. construction and building permits are on the rise, as are building permits in Arkansas. Kathy Deck from the Center for Business and Economic Research at the University of Arkansas recently spoke with Senator Mark Pryor about the state of the state's economy. She says the economy of Arkansas mirrors that of the national economy, though the two are slightly different.
We saw national building permits and the construction activity fall much more steeply than we did here in the state. And so that also means that as we have come into the recovery for the United States has been a little bit quicker than the recovery here in Arkansas, but part of that, and a big part of that, is that we didn't fall as far. But permits in the United States for 2012 were up about 29%. Building permits in Arkansas were up about 13%. I don't think there's any doubt that construction is going to be a key part of the economic recovery in 2013.
Deck says home construction isn't the only source of economic revitalization, as highway and infrastructure construction will create jobs to help further boost the state's economy.
Walmart officials say during the last fiscal year, the retail giant and the Walmart Foundation gave more than $1 billion in cash and in-kind contributions. According to a release by the company, much of that total involved in-kind donations to the U.S. to local food banks and families that felt an impact by disasters. Those donations included giving more than 351 million meals to food banks through the Feeding America program, 1 million bottles of water to East Coast residents that felt an impact from Hurricane Sandy, and more than $106 million of cash and in-kind gifts from Sam's Club aimed to help small businesses and nonprofit organizations. And that's just in the U.S. The company also donated more than 20,000 tons of food to hunger relief organizations in Mexico and $3 million to support more than 1,200 Breakfast Clubs of Canada programs. In addition, the company's associates and customers raised more than $156 million for local organizations such as the Salvation Army and Children's Miracle Network Hospitals.
Fayetteville Public Schools are receiving national recognition. The school district is one of 14 schools in the country to receive the first ever Green Ribbon School District Sustainability Award from the U.S. Department of Education. Fayetteville is the only school district to be selected from Arkansas, and according to a press release from the school, districts were selected for efforts to reduce environmental impacts and utility costs, promoting better health, and ensuring effective environmental education.
Tonight's Razorback baseball game against the Oklahoma Sooners is off. That's because of forecasted rain and cold temperatures tonight. The game will not be made up, and that means, dog owners, that Wolfstock 2013 has also been postponed. The Diamond Hogs return to the field Friday. They'll travel to Athens, Georgia, to begin a three-game series against SEC foe Georgia. Northwest Arkansas Naturals were on the road last night. They lost the series opener against the Springfield Cardinals 9-6. Naturals are now 5-12 on the season. They'll continue that four-game set tonight in Springfield.
Tonight, cloudy with a 50% chance of showers with a low of 34 in northwest Arkansas, and there's a 60% chance of showers with a low of 37 degrees in the Arkansas River Valley. Sunny tomorrow with highs from 55 in northwest Arkansas to 60 in the Arkansas River Valley. Mostly clear tomorrow night with patchy frost and a low of 32 in northwest Arkansas and a low of 37 in the Arkansas River Valley.
This is Ozarks at Large. Emotions continue to roil regarding the permitted construction of a large hog breeding factory farm on a major tributary to the Buffalo National River in Newton County. Advocates claim it's the beginning of an economic revival for their impoverished region. Conservationists fear waste from the farm will devastate a scenic and historic treasure. Even state legislators have drafted a new law regarding the matter. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich has this update.
Word began to trickle out in early March that a swine confined feeding animal operation called a CAFO was being built near the small community of Mount Judy along Big Creek, 6 miles upstream from the Buffalo National River in Newton County. The CAFO was permitted last summer by the Arkansas Department of Environmental Quality under a new statewide general CAFO permit issued in late 2011. Poultry factory farms are common on the Ozarks landscape, but this hog farm could potentially confine as many as 10,000 swine, discharging as much liquid effluent as the city of Harrison.
Patty, would you do a roll call?
Joseph Bates.
Here.
Lawrence Bingle. John Tamberlin.
More than 100 turned out to complain at a regular meeting of the Arkansas Pollution Control and Ecology Commission held in late March. All of them had, for the first time, an opportunity to hear the hog farmer side of the story. Two families are listed as operators of the new CNH hog farms, the Campbells and the Hensons. And they've remained mostly silent as they remain focused on completing construction of the nearly 700-acre swine breeding operation. This is Jason Henson.
Our families have been in this area for the past 6 or 8 generations. The new farm will employ the new modern technologies that's available today. Our entire facility was professionally engineered by a licensed professional engineer that was in compliance with all ADEQ requirements. Newton County is one of the poorest counties in our state. Our school district is one of the smallest. While our farm will only employ 8 to 12 people, it brings a much needed tax base and dollars to our county and school district. Officials with the school district, Newton County Judge, the Newton County Quorum Court, along with many other people in Newton County, support our efforts that this brings to our area.
ADEQ Water Quality Permits Agent John Bailey assured everyone that his agency will be closely surveilling the farm once it's up and running.
You know, with all of the fail safes that we put into the permit, we've even got a monitoring station where we can take a look to see, all right, are there any other issues that we may not be aware of. So we'll have the background information, and if we see numbers begin to elevate, you know, I'll say that the first place we'll want to look is the hog farm, because I think that's the most obvious place to start and see if there's any issues out there, and see if there's any issues or any cause from the hog farm.
But Newton County farmer Gordon Watkins expressed a widely shared complaint that the permitting public input process was opaque.
This large-scale swine farm approved by the state
has the potential to have significant impact on not only its immediate neighbors, but on an entire watershed, including the nearby Buffalo River, a national treasure. Proper notification was not given.
Watkins said the CAFO permitting documents are too difficult to locate on ADEQ's website and too large to download, especially on slower rural internet networks. But Pollution Control and Ecology Commissioner William Thompson said that's impossible.
They weren't paying attention, because I know it's out there, and I know how hard the department has worked to make people notification on it.
Jay Masters, representing all Arkansas pork producers, lauded the project, saying liquid waste, which will be spread on nearby farm fields, will improve the environment, not hurt it.
That's fertilizer. That helps develop the land. That helps grow the crops that they're going to do. It's natural. It's going to be an uptake.
CNH Hog Farms, permitted to house 2,500 sows and 4,000 small piglets to market, is a contract grower for Cargill, an international industrial pork integrator, providing meat to retailers, including Walmart. Farm Credit Services of Western Arkansas is financing a $4 million taxpayer-backed loan guaranteed by both SBA and USDA Farm Service Agency. FSA conducted a routine environmental assessment and found no significant impact. And it's cited, among others, the National Park Service as a cooperating agency. But Buffalo National River Park staff say they were not included, had no idea a permit had been issued, found the environmental assessment lacking, and demanded the project be halted. In response, Arkansas FSA Executive Director Linda Newkirk says because the farm is more than a quarter mile away from the National River, the involvement of the National Park Service is not warranted. She declined talking on tape, but in an email response for this report, said that her agency adhered to all regulations in vetting the farm and is a steward for natural resources across the state. The National Park Service in Washington, D.C. was also queried for this story, but declined talking on record. But the National Parks Conservation Association, an NGO advocacy group, says the swine farm permit needs to be revoked. Spokesperson Emily Jones.
This is in the watershed of Buffalo National River, which is America's first national river. It's part of the national park system. The natural and cultural resources within that system are very, very, very valuable. To the American public, this is not an Arkansas issue. This is a national issue.
But back at the Pollution Control and Ecology meeting, Arkansas Department of Environmental Quality Director Teresa Marks said the swine farm permit is in full compliance.
If you don't want dischargers in the Buffalo River watershed, you're going to have to change the law.
And a bipartisan group of state lawmakers attempted to do just that this legislative session, introducing House Bill 2252. Democratic Representative Warwick Sabin, District 33, Little Rock, is a co-sponsor.
Well, I'm excited that the bill has passed the legislature because it improves the notification procedures for these kinds of agricultural facilities that would be proposed for the Buffalo River watershed and other similar watersheds. It's not everything that I had hoped to achieve. I had actually proposed a more comprehensive amendment that would have established a moratorium on these kinds of facilities until the notification procedures and other permitting processes could be improved. But at this late point in the session, we were going to get some resistance from certain interests, and we decided the best route was to get the best possible measure passed during this session as quickly as we could. And so that's the bill that's just been passed into law.
A petition to block all factory farming on the Buffalo National River watershed, posted on a change.org website, has gathered nearly 10,000 signatures towards a goal of 100,000. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
A public meeting hosted by the Arkansas Department of Environmental Quality is scheduled for May 8th at the Carroll Electric Building in Jasper that night at 6 p.m.
Of the next fresh air, Matthew McConaughey. He's starring in the new film Mud, recently starred in Magic Mike, Killer Joe, and Bernie, and co-stars in Martin Scorsese's next film. He'll talk with us about his life and movies and why he often does this. Join us.
Fresh air tonight at 6 on KUAF.
It's a little rough riding across this open ground. Hold on.
Ron Cox, Executive Director of the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks, gives instructions to hold on tight as he drives a cart across a bumpy open field. This large plot of land, located south of the developed portion of the Botanical Garden's property, is planned to be developed as well. Administrators of the Botanical Garden have recently made revisions to a master plan that Ron says was approved by the Fayetteville City Council about a decade ago. Those revisions have been sent to the city's Parks and Recreation Department, whose advisory board has scheduled a meeting for 5:30 tomorrow afternoon to gather public input on the proposed master plan. Ron says the revisions are a reaction to a number of things, such as the widening of Highway 265, which runs parallel to the garden's eastern border, and a streams ordinance that was passed by the city. The ordinance means the garden will have to move buildings that were planned to be constructed near Hilton Creek further away from the body of water. Pointing to a map of the proposed master plan, Ron shows how three buildings will be placed closer together now so they can be more readily served, and the reconfiguration will also result in less disturbance of the land. Another change to the plan is moving a small amphitheater that was initially going to be built in an open area.
It would work better if it was in located where the ground kind of conforms, or where you could build an amphitheater instead of being out in the middle of a flat open space where sound would not project well, would project too well in some cases, or you would be having outside noises influencing. Again, 265 highway being four lanes make a lot of noise. Plus, again, you'd have to disturb the land a lot more to dig out to be able to locate an amphitheater in a flat space. So a lot of this is just common sense adjustment to something that had previously been approved.
In addition to the amphitheater, the master plan includes the construction of a visitor center, event pavilion, community market, and additional parking space that Ron says he would describe as more like Crystal Bridges and less like a Walmart parking lot. He says in the original plan, the parking lots were located more toward the interior of the property, and they would have been available only to those visiting the garden. With the proposed revisions, the lots would be accessible to others, including hikers and bikers using the nearby trail system around Lake Fayetteville. In the revised plan, a portion of the soft surface trail around the lake would have to be changed because, as it is now, Ron says, the trail would run right through the middle of a proposed education building. One proposal by garden officials is to reroute the dirt trail to run alongside the paved trail located on the south side of the property. Phil Penny, president of the nonprofit group Ozark Off-Road Cyclists, has some qualms about this alternative.
The old trail system that's established is used by birders, hikers, mountain bikers, and several other user groups. The new trail system that they have proposed wouldn't necessarily be as natural of an area as the one that's established now. You would actually be beside the paved system. You wouldn't feel like you're in the woods in an intimate setting. It would also be adjacent to the property or property that is not the city, which would also impact the experience.
Since announcing the proposed revisions to the master plan, Ron Cox, executive director of the Botanical Gardens, says garden staff members have spoken to people who have voiced concerns over the proposal. As far as the proposed rerouting of the current trail goes, Ron mentioned another alternative. Instead of having a small portion of the trail curve east into the footprint of the new education building, it could curve west and run closer to the lake and across Hilton Creek.
Our proposal is that we take them away from the what they're doing is they're crossing over this bridge right here, is that we actually build them a new wooden bridge. It would make it interesting. This is going to be a pavilion, that we do an elevated pavilion, and that they would, it'd be like going under a trestle or make a tunnel. We could even make it where, hey, it's exciting, we're going through a tunnel, you know. But this boardwalk wouldn't be very wide, but it's, you know, just kind of like a bridge with
So we've got some ideas that we think would make it interesting.
Ron says this is the first step in a process. He explains they must first work with the Parks and Recreation Department before presenting to the group's advisory board. Eventually, the city council would need to review and approve the plan. Then, as a nonprofit, the Botanical Garden would have to raise the funds needed to build the different structures. Ron says they are at the point where they feel like they need to raise funds and get the education building built. Ron says he realizes that other parts of the proposed plan would be done way in the future. So for now, Ron says he wants to work with others developing a plan that works for several people.
We would very much like for the different interests to help us to figure out the way that makes it work for everyone. And there's besides the trail users, there's also other groups. There's different bird watching societies, for example, and groups. And there are several hiking groups that also come through the area. What we've got to do is make sure that we have something that works for everyone. And I'm sure that not everyone is going to be 100% pleased with everything, but we've got to make it work the best for everyone involved, for the largest group.
A public meeting on the proposed master plan of the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks has been scheduled for 5:30 tomorrow afternoon at the garden's office, which is located at 4703 North Crossover Road. For links to more information on this story, visit our website, ozarksatlarge.com.
It is Tuesday, April 22nd, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
With us, Becca Martin Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
I have a really disturbing confession.
Go for it.
There is a Stephen Sondheim play I haven't seen.
What?
I know.
I mean, I can say that.
I know.
But I'm really surprised you're saying that.
That just ruins my credibility in theater. Yeah. But I'm going to correct this because Company is on stage at University Theater this week.
Yes, it is.
Opened over the weekend. It's the story of a single man surrounded by married couples on his 35th birthday and trying to decide if this is okay or if he should be moving in that direction. Does this sound like any of our friends?
No comment.
Anyway, showtime is 8 o'clock Wednesday through Saturday and 2 o'clock Sunday at University Theater in Fayetteville. This is the last run of performances, and tickets are $16 for adults at 575-4752.
And the last production for the drama department for the school year.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Still to come on this edition of Ozarks at Large, the latest statewide chances to become an entrepreneur. Roby Brock will have the lowdown on that. Plus, we continue our countdown to a poetry reading this weekend in Fayetteville.
Support for KUAF comes from the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal, featuring transportation, including public and private trucking firms, in the April 29th edition, plus local business news in Northwest Arkansas. The current edition is available at 725-0394 or nwabusinessjournal.com, where you can also register for the daily business e-news.
The latest edition of the Science Cafe will take place tonight in Fayetteville at its regular home, the Powerhouse Restaurant. It's from 6:30 until 8. Tonight's topic, energy sources being tapped for present and future use. Among the panelists that will be engaged in tonight's Science Cafe, Mike Johnson, the Associate Vice Chancellor for Facilities at the University of Arkansas, Gary Kahanek, Director of the Northwest Arkansas Regional Office of Home Energy RX, Christopher Liner, Professor of Geosciences at the University of Arkansas, and Kate Shoulders, Assistant Professor of Agricultural and Extension Education at the U of A. The event, as always, free of charge. You do not have to register. You can just show up. The public welcome tonight.
okay,
at Powerhouse.
So I've never been to this, but it's basically just like a panel and you go and you listen. Is there food? I'm sorry. I'm always wondering about food.
there is a restaurant. It's at Powerhouse Restaurant.
Right.
So there's food. It's not free.
Right. But you could order food and eat while you're learning.
Yeah, the idea is you have
Why
dinner.
Why couldn't I do this in class when I was in school? I would have learned so much better if I was eating.
The idea is continuing education. And so, yes, there are panelists. And generally, each panelist kind of makes a small presentation. Then it becomes a Q&A. So if you have a curiosity about the future of energy.
Cool.
It's really kind of a neat idea.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I've heard you talk about it a couple times, and I realized I've never actually been, so I was just curious.
Okay.
Well, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Okay, well, speaking of the University of Arkansas, the UA Concert Band and Wind Ensemble Concert is tonight at Fayetteville High School at 7:30.
And that, I believe, is free.
Yes, it's free, and the public is invited to attend.
Excellent.
Yep.
Tonight at Fayetteville High.
Mm-hmm.
Three students from, speaking of universities.
Yes.
And energy. This kind of connects.
Look at you.
I know. Quite by accident. Three students from Arkansas Tech University Ozark campus competed this past weekend in the Electric Cooperative of Arkansas's 10th Annual Electric Vehicle Rally. Tried to say that three times fast.
No.
The three students from ATU Ozark took first place in the troubleshooting category.
Oh.
And they are, credit where credit is due, Jacob Grigio of Ozark, Josh James of Clarksville, Matt Bolton of Alma. They say that the highlight of the project is the design and construction of electric vehicles that the students then enter and drive.
That's so cool.
In the competition. It takes place every year at the State Fairgrounds in Little Rock.
I like that. I wished I was better at such things when I was in high school.
Well, if you had had a class where you were able to eat, who knows?
Exactly.
Yes.
I would have excelled so much
Exactly.
better.
Yes.
Reporter, novelist, and nonfiction author Pete Early will speak at the U of A this fall to discuss his book, Crazy, A Father's Search Through America's Mental Health Madness. The book has been selected for the 2013 One Book, One Community Reading Project. That's something sponsored through the university.
Correct.
Where it's a book that I know they read in some of the classes. The students are required to read it, but it's also to get the community involved by encouraging them to read the book as well. And then there are different events throughout the community.
And then many of the local book clubs will read it.
Mm-hmm. Early, the author of the book, will visit Northwest Arkansas in November. Gives me plenty of time to read the book.
Yes.
Meeting with students and holding a public lecture. Let's see. That is Thursday, November 7th. He will speak to the annual meeting of local book clubs at the Fayetteville Public Library on Friday, November 8th.
The gathering of
the books.
And we will have that on the air because I've been asked once again this year to moderate that.
Gathering of the groups. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yes. Gathering of the groups.
So you can look forward to that in November.
Yes.
Starting a new business is rarely easy and almost never done without some kind of outside help. In Arkansas, a number of entrepreneurial competitions are designed to aid in the creation of homegrown businesses. Valerie Erkman is the Vice President for Marketing at Arkansas Capital Corporation, a group dedicated to fostering entrepreneurial endeavors in the state. Recently, she sat down with Roby Brock from our content partner, Talk Business Arkansas.
Your firm has been very busy this past month with a lot of activity.
Yes, we have.
Let's begin with the Battle of the Brands, a very friendly competition to kind of boost brand awareness of companies and firms in Arkansas, kind of a NCAA tournament bracket similar to the basketball tournament. Tell me about this year's winner, the Twisted Pearl.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great story. So the Twisted Pearl really is a company that she operates out of her home and in Conway, and she does custom yarn. Basically, she takes it from very start to finish, and then she sells it internationally. She sells it, United States, all around the world. And I think what made her do so well in this competition was obviously her social media outreach. She used it from the very beginning of the contest and kept it going and just continued to amp it up. And she came away the winner.
So this was Twitter and Facebook and
everything. Yes, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. She used all kinds of things. Yep.
Were you guys going to do the competition again? Was
we
it successful
certainly,
enough?
It definitely was. So the whole competition was intended to basically promote and let people know about ArcSourceLink.com. Arkansas SourceLink is basically a free resource for entrepreneurs, startups, small businesses. It's just tons of resources out there, educational information. You can download videos, really get educated on how to develop a business plan. And it's also really intended to self-educate for these small businesses. And so one of the popular things is our calendar of events where people can see events that are coming up, classes that are available. We also have a really popular blog. So the whole purpose of Battle of the Brands was really to get people aware of Arkansas SourceLink. It has been wildly successful. We had almost 10,000 votes.
Now, one of the other things I like about that website too is it's got mentoring advice on that. I mean, there's a way to kind of connect and build. So speak to me a little bit about why mentorship is so important.
Right. And I do think that's one aspect of the site. We do have a lot of information out there about how to connect with a mentor, why a mentor is important to help you with your business. So yeah, that's a really cool aspect of the site.
Let's talk about something else that occupied a little bit of your time this last month, and that is the Don W. Reynolds Governor's Cup competition for business plans. Undergraduate and graduate students, tell me how big this thing has become over the last decade. I mean, it has really exponentially grown.
Yeah, so this is our 13th year. This year we had 47 teams from 13 different Arkansas colleges and universities who submitted business plans. And so we just had our luncheon last week and we announced the winners. The top two graduate teams and the top two undergraduate teams will go on to compete in tri-states. All combined, it's one of the largest business plan competitions in the country.
The undergraduate winner, Catch 22 from UALR, tell me what Catch 22 does real quick.
Sure. Catch 22 really developed a process to take an invasive fish species, Asian carp, and turn it into a liquid fertilizer.
That's a pretty
It's very cool.
Novel idea
it definitely is, and it's a problem. It was an environmental problem, and I think what they said, they took an environmental problem and made it an environmental solution.
Pica Solar, is that how you pronounce it?
Pica Solar.
Pica Solar.
Yeah.
Right. University of Arkansas.
Yes.
That was the graduate revolutionary kind of development in solar power.
Yes. So they developed a process for increasing the efficiency of solar cells. I believe they said they're going to increase the efficiency by about 15%, and they're also going to save solar cell manufacturers about $20 million annually. Apparently, this is one of the biggest breakthroughs in solar power since the 70s.
Valerie Erkman is the Vice President for Marketing for Arkansas Capital Corporation. You can hear more from her conversation with Roby Brock at talkbusiness.net. Support for Talk Business Arkansas on Ozarks at Large is provided by Mitchell Williams Law, providing strategic counsel on a variety of sophisticated legal matters since 1954. Mitchell Williams Law Firm combines decades of diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Today, the firm employs nearly 80 attorneys from 4 offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com.
And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at BankOzarks.com. And the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity, backed up with fuel diversity. More at AECC.com.
This weekend, more than 20 poets, some from here and others from around the country, will participate in an Ozark Small Press Poetry Festival at Nightbird Books. As a preview, we invited a few of the poets scheduled to read to our studio to read one of their poems and discuss their love of poetry. Today, Rochester, New York native and now Fayetteville resident C. Violet Eaton explains his relationship with poetry and reads an excerpt from one of his longer works.
I was probably 13 or 14, although I don't think I got very serious about writing sort of series of poems until maybe 15 or 16. When I look back on it, I really think a lot of it had to do with, you know, always feeling the need to do something creative, to create something, to shape it. And growing up, I think I was very much influenced by music, and I really turned to poetry because I was also interested in literature, but really more as a failed musician. It seemed that I was, you know, more talented with words than the fretboard of a guitar, and that's how I kind of ended up expressing my work. Throughout the years, there have been absolutely tons. I'm a huge music compulsive listener and collector. Often I write with music playing, instrumental music, and I can sort of translate that experience of hearing the music into words on the page. I like a lot of world music, jazz music. John Coltrane has always been a huge influence on me. I listened to a lot of Southeast Asian music recently, things like that. It's actually an excerpt from a longer poem that I just finished called Some Habits, and it's about a 50-plus page poem. And this is just really one sort of isolated page. And the poem is actually in epistolary form, which is a fancy way of saying it's in the form of a letter. And I actually did send out a page at a time, this poem, to my friend, who's a poet who lives in North Carolina. So he received it through the mail. So this is just a piece of it. Dear David, when I leave the medicine I have dreamed, when the water gets up out the river, when old Thousand Legs is toothless when he's getting it, when four men block the doorway, when it finally happens, when nobody said something to get up to, when I talk the bottle and whoop in it, when abidum 386, when the sun don't come up the same way, a difference in the quality of day, the chine of the ridge, when each war is a way of purging good light from our journals, when slow is the new loud, when one man is playing the organ, another is stretching and nailing strings across the surface of a cedar box, when the room is uncomplicated mostly, when these tones slip through, and for whom, and when even then they touch light, brief, and cease meaning.
C. Violet Eaton is one of 21 poets scheduled to read this weekend at Nightbird Books on Dixon Street in Fayetteville. He read an excerpt from his poem, Some Habits. The readings are Friday and Saturday night from 7 until 10 each night. You can learn more at burningchair.blogspot.com.
On the next Living on Earth, what's possible if we could only store renewable energy?
My utopian view here is for every home in suburban America and Canada not to be connected to the grid in any way.
A new way to make that dream come true. I'm Steve Kerwood, and that's next time on Living on Earth from PRI, Public Radio International.
Living on Earth, Sunday evening at 5 on KUAF 91.3 FM.
The critically acclaimed band, the Besnard Lakes, are heading south from their home of Montreal to Fayetteville. Ozarks at Large's Katie Henriksen has a preview of their show tomorrow night.
The Canadian four-piece band, the Besnard Lakes, have been dropping sonically blissed out apocalyptic guitar synth drone-laden rock since the husband and wife team of producer Jay Slasek and Olga Gureyas formed in 2003. Despite the consistency and their epic stateside touring, they remain a bit of a sleeper phenomenon. That's starting to change with their latest release, Until in Excess, Imperceptible UFO, just released on one of my favorite independent labels, Jag Jaguar, also home to Sharon Van Etten, Damien Gerardo, and the breakout success of One Bon Iver. Let's start with the triumphant Color Your Lights In, Baby, a rock anthem for folks like me who usually frown at rock anthems. Catchiest song on the album, it's really hard not to begin screaming this chorus and jumping around, though there's still that melancholy. A constant refrain is, you know it's a waste of time, against twangy vamp, then triumphal chorus. Lasek, who operates Break Glass Studios in Montreal, has helped master some of the finest recordings coming out of the neighbor to our north. He's worked with Moonface, a label mate to the band. Spencer Krug actually guests on the new album, even. He's worked with Stars, Islands, and even the Arcade Fire. It's that mastery of sonic control that really stands out in everything the Besnard Lakes release. Words used often to describe the Besnard Lake sound include atmospheric and cinematic. Then there's the image of fire and all-consuming flames, which the band used on their prior two releases. That's the Besnard Lakes Are the Dark Horse and the Besnard Lakes Are the Roaring Night, each album cover consumed in flames. Lasek, who leads vocals, has a falsetto that never seems to escape comparisons to Brian Wilson's. There's also dreamy surf rock harmonies here. Vamps, drones, swirling shoegazer haze, and ridiculously tight percussion. There's excess here sprawling all over the place, and instead of chaos, the result is blissed out ecstasy, especially on the new album, in which their sound has soared into the heavens. As Lasek explains in an interview with Julian Marzalek on the online music publication The Quietus, their technique for creating songs is somewhat different from the standard. Rather than hashing over melodies for years, then going into the studio with already finely wrought material, Lasek and Gureas enter the studio having only a vague idea of what they're going to come up with. These songs will then come from the soundscapes that we've created. Lasek says, going into the studio the way we do without any ideas, and we don't really rehearse for the sessions, we just let the studio do its own thing. Lasek also credits Gureas for really making sure that he hones in his excess to find the exactly right balance of sprawl and majesty. Now, I interviewed Gureas for the Brooklyn Rail in 2010, and this is when she said of the partnership, "Jace and I knew when we met that we would be creative partners. And certainly there have been both benefits and challenges to the situation. We are brutally honest in that we let each other know if something is not working when we write a song." Though the shortest song on Until in Excess Imperceptible UFO is still over 5 minutes long, the longest, closer Alma Gordo, stretches just over the 7 minute mark. There's that echoey doom of the bass adorned with shiny sonics all around. Then the drums fill in and the tranquil vocals, all building and building, crescendo upon crescendo, controlled explosion after explosion. A fine example of exactly what make the Besnard Lakes a tour de force with an unmistakable sound that is sure to ignite more and more fires with their latest standout, Until in Excess Imperceptible UFO. Besnard Lakes play JR's Lightbulb Club on Block Street in Fayetteville Wednesday night with label mates Sons and locals teenagers. It's billed as Clunk Presents Last Show. For more information, search JR's Lightbulb Club on Facebook. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Katie Henriksen.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is Wayne Bell. He covers popular culture for Ozarks at Large. How are you?
I'm doing well.
It used to be that the summer blockbuster movie season did not start until kids were out of school, but no longer does the summer blockbuster movie season wait for summer.
Yeah, last year a lot of people think The Hunger Games was a summer movie, but it was actually a spring movie, but it made so much money. And this year we haven't had anything, I guess, that big. We had The Great and Powerful Oz that did well, but it really kicks into gear, you know, May 1st, and that's why I thought we could look at the first few months of the summer today, and that really kicks off with Iron Man 3, which comes out on May 3rd.
I am very excited about this.
Yeah, it You going to try to sell me on it?
Well, okay. So it is more or less a sequel to The Avengers, which was a critical and commercial success last summer.
Okay.
It's a Marvel superhero who was invented in the 1960s by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, I believe. And Robert Downey Jr. is right. the lead, and he's generally a pleasure to watch on screen, no matter what the movie is.
Yeah.
He's very talented. Jon Favreau is back to direct this one, and he did a fine job with the previous two.
Okay.
And it's good.
He didn't do the Avengers, though.
No, that was Joss Whedon.
Okay.
And also Ben Kingsley is in this.
Gwyneth Paltrow. Yeah. Okay.
And of course, the effects will be out of this
world. It probably cost that.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
Speaking of expensive and prolonged, May 10th, The Great Gatsby comes out, which we were talking about a year and a half or 2 years ago as an Oscar contender, and that's how long it's been.
Now, when I think Great Gatsby, I don't think 3D. But the advertisements I've seen on television have said, hey, you can see it in 3D, you can see it on IMAX, so what?
Well, it's Baz Luhrmann, who did Moulin Rouge and Romeo and Juliet, and he does those, what are the acid trip movies, mm-hmm. you know? So it's going to be loud and colorful, and it's got Jay-Z and Beyonce and a ton of people on the soundtrack. And
okay. So it is going to be a slightly different look at the F. Scott Fitzgerald novel.
Yeah. And Tobey Maguire, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Carey Mulligan. It could be good, but I always worry when films have been pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed, and this one definitely has. Then you've got another Star Trek on May 17th.
Okay, and this is the J.J. Abrams
3D
reboot from...
Right.
Okay.
And then Hangover 3, since you're so into the three movies this summer.
And I have just seen one brief advertisement, and it is saying this is the end.
Thank God.
Now, Hangover, the first Hangover became the highest grossing R-rated comedy ever.
Yeah, it was
then
that
was
summer's.
Eclipsed by the second Hangover movie, so this is a money-making...
It was terrible.
And was almost the exact same movie.
Right.
So any word on what this one is? Are they?
Well, I would think now that Bradley Cooper is an actor.
Yes.
that this has to be it, I would hope. Monsters University comes out on the 24th, and that's the new 3D Monsters, Inc. sequel.
Oh, okay.
From Disney Pixar.
Okay. So that's the Pixar movie of the early summer.
Right. But they also have other films coming out later this summer, like Planes, which is their, I guess...
Sort of Cars-esque.
Cars for Planes.
Okay.
Gripping. on the 21st of June, we have World War Z with Brad Pitt.
Zombies.
Yeah. It looks very strange.
Yes, it does.
And then something I think that looks interesting, I know we're talking about the early part of summer, but towards the beginning of July, it's late June or early July, is Lone Ranger, which I think looks really good.
Armie Hammer is taking the iconic role, and Johnny Depp is playing Tonto.
Which I think is so funny, because on the ads, it's all... Tonto.
Well,
it's Johnny Depp, and then as the Iron. Yeah,
it's like time that character got his time in the spotlight.
Right. It reminds me of those old Batman ads that said Jack Nicholson as the Joker, and then down at the bottom it had Michael Keaton under the title.
Any movies that it always happens, there are some movies that aren't action, aren't full of explosions, that come in through the summer and kind of catch an audience. Any idea what some of those might be?
It's so hard to tell. I remember, we kind of knew with Bridesmaids what was going to happen because it just looked so funny on the trailers. But, you know, Little Miss Sunshine was a summer release, and Beasts of the Southern Wild last year was a summer release. So it's really interesting to see, and it's hard to gauge where that adult critically acclaimed film's going to be. But there's bound to be one this summer.
Wayne Bell keeps an eye on popular culture for Ozarks at Large. Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you.
Support for Ozarks at Large comes in part from the University of Arkansas's Women's Giving Circle. KUAF is supported by Aurora Technologies, a digital signage hardware and software provider. Images and videos can be instantly uploaded and displayed on multiple screens and locations, improving communication in hotels, museums, restaurants, medical facilities, retail environments, and school systems. AuroraDigitalSignage.com for more information.
A listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Avoca.
Avoca, mm-hmm. Northern Benton County.
Yep.
One of the first times, if not the first time, Bill Clinton came back to Arkansas after being president.
Uh-huh.
He was making a speech. I think it had something to do with XNA, if I can't remember now.
Sure.
But he said he had been in the presidential limousine and they had gone through Avoca for some reason. He said he
did they
thought,
go to the bus stop?
I don't know. But he said he imagined he was the only president ever to know where Avoca, Arkansas was. I just remember.
Probably.
Him saying that. Yes. Hey, want to remind you that tomorrow, April is National Poetry Month.
Right. So lots of poets.
Yes. Martha Solano, who is a poet from Seattle, will read from her latest book, The Little Office of the Immaculate Conception. It takes place tomorrow night from 7 until 8:30 in the Peterson Auditorium in the Shoemaker Center for Global Business Development. That's on the campus of Northwest Arkansas Community College in Bentonville. She's the author of three poetry collections, including the latest, The Little Office of the Immaculate Conception, also Blue Positive, and What the Truth Tastes Like. That's tomorrow night on the Northwest Arkansas Community College campus.
Awesome. The Arkansas Game and Fish Commission and the Lincoln Hooked on Fishing, Not on Drugs program will be hosting a fishing derby at Lake Bentonville April 24th through the 25th.
Tomorrow and the day after.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. For the Lincoln 8th grade PE classes, the Game and Fish Commission will stock Lake Bentonville, with 600 catfish. Plus, there will be many other catchable species of fish already in Lake Bentonville. Students will fish while in PE and will not miss any other classes. Well, they're probably sad about that.
Yes, probably so.
They can bring their own rods, but there will be more than 90 rods provided for students to use during their class. That's cool. Adult volunteers are needed on the days to help with knots, tangles, and general fishing issues. Each day, they need volunteers from 8:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Any help is welcome, even if it's only an hour, or if you can do all day, that'd be great. You can contact Coach Calvert at CCALVERT at BentonvilleK12.org. So, fishing derby. I have not heard of this before. Have you?
Yes.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Yeah.
I had not. When I think derby, I think like horses.
Sure.
And fishes sure. Don't race.
No, although that would be an interesting new take for perhaps Oak Lawn or South Lawn to get into is fish racing. Yes.
Fish racing.
Do you fish at all?
You know, my grandpa used to take me when I was a kid, but it would be sort of like we'd go down to Beaver Lake and sit on a dock and,
sure.
You know, by my uncle's boat or something, and he'd just have us stick it, the rod in the water and just kind of sit there.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd catch something small.
That's kind of fishing.
Yeah, I mean, like, yes. I was, you know, little kid fishing.
Yes.
Not serious fishing.
Yeah, well, I don't know. That's the kind of fishing that I like to do.
Well, sure.
Also, just announced this morning, Live Nation is welcoming back comedian Brian Regan to the Walton
yeah.
Arts Center. He was here and played to a sold-out crowd.
I think it was last year.
Last year or
yeah.
The year before. Within the last 18 months, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He is coming back. He's one of the biggest comic draws
right now
out there. I
yes.
mean, he consistently sells out. He did at Walton Arts Center. He was here earlier.
Didn't you get to talk to him?
No, I saw him.
You saw him. That's what
I
it
saw
was.
Him.
Okay.
I wasn't really familiar with him. And then I had a
okay,
friend
that's
who convinced
what it was.
Me to go. But he's coming back. The date is November 9th, 2013.
Mm-hmm.
It is at Walton Arts Center. It is in Baumwalker Hall, so about 1,200 seats. Tickets, this is if you're a Brian Regan fan, tickets will go on sale Friday, April 26th. So not too long.
So
well,
this
that's Friday.
Friday.
That's
this
right.
Friday.
That's
mm-hmm.
this Friday. $46.50 for tickets. They can be purchased by calling Walton Arts Center box office at 443-5600. You can also go to waltonartscenter.org.
Geez, the 26th, already towards the end of April.
That's
where
correct.
Did April go?
It's still hanging around. It's still hanging around. Let's see. Tomorrow you and I are back.
We are.
For another edition of Ozarks at Large. Also, on the show tomorrow. An announcement this morning from the University of Arkansas Fort Smith about a new academic partnership. Ozarks yes. at Large's Christina Thomas is on the UAFS campus, and she'll have that story. Also, mm-hmm. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack is on the University of Arkansas campus today, and Timothy Dennis from Ozarks at Large covering that, and we'll have that on the program tomorrow.
We're everywhere. I wondered where people were this morning.
And on Thursday's show that mm-hmm. I'll co-host with Christina, Roby Brock will talk with recently announced gubernatorial candidate Mike Ross. That'll be on the Thursday edition of Ozarks at Large.
So lots to look forward to this
yes,
week.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Thanks so much for listening.